And we're starting a new series on, tell me, Sandy, how is it worded again?
Free to follow.
Free to follow. Woo. Free to follow Christ. Are you still free?
Yes.
Woo. We can get bogged down and stuff, can't we? You know, it becomes increasingly more difficult to stand up before you here and try to make some sense spiritually. What is going on in the country? I mean, it gets increasingly difficult for us to come before you and just lead you in a direction that's going to bring honor and glory to God. I mean, every week something different happens that erodes that joy, erodes that peace, erodes that, you know, that love every week. And I have to say that Sandy does the most amazing job of it that I've ever seen. I'm telling you, it is amazing. I mean, last week, I can't even imagine the work it went into to have the Wheel of Fortune and the prizes for every age group, you know. I mean, to bring some sense, you know, out of what is happening. And we need to make some sense out of it somehow. We need to function in it. You know, I'm looking in the book of James today because he's talking about looking into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. And James, whose name is Jacob, okay, this stuff always blows me away, you know. The book of James, but his real name is Jacob because there was no James in the Bible. All right, did you ever hear that, Sandy? Oh my gosh. You know, so I read in so many commentaries, I must have read, you know, 5, 6 translations and commentaries and different things in the last couple of weeks. And one thing I did know, that maybe a little bit of trivia, he was called Old Camel Knees. Write that down, somebody, okay? For a trivia, Old Camel Knees. They said that Jacob, the brother of Christ, prayed so earnestly for the church that he developed calluses on his knees. That's one thing I found out about him, okay? So he's speaking to a nation that is no longer a nation. They're dispersed. I mean, it's chaos. There's a religious order that is oppressing them, and there is a government that's oppressing them, and they're in total chaos. And he is trying to gather them together. He is trying to help them make some sense out of this disorder, you know, this calamity. And he says faith, and here it says in the beginning, it says faith endures trials. Oh, I hate trials. Don't you? I mean, I just hate trials. It says, trials come and go. Well, thank the Lord they go. You know what I mean? I mean, whoo. I mean, I had COVID for 2 weeks. Whew. It hurt, you know? It's hard to recover, especially when you're old. And I don't know, how's my voice sound? It seems like my voice, whew, took a beating. But, you know, I hate trials. I mean, cancer was one thing, but then COVID, you know. Oh, my. And this is minor compared to the trials I've watched so many of you walk through. Oh, it's heartbreaking. It's difficult. But we have to make some sense out of it. We have to make some order out of it. And James says, he says, but a strong faith will face them head on and develop endurance. Whew. Well, I might not look stronger. I don't feel a lot stronger. But that's why we have each other. You know, Betty did this course here for many years and was called Free to Be Me. And I wrote in there, Free to Be Us. Free to Be Us, okay? Because I don't know what people believe down the street, okay? I know a little bit about what one church does and another church does and, you know, another religious organization or another. But we want to be free to be us. Because without you and me, there's no us, okay? There's no us. There's no Oak River Church. So we want to be us. And I think we're doing a good job of being us, all right? It says here in the beginning, it says, for the Christian, the church has unwittingly added to problems. It has made people feel guilty. Woo, no shame. About having feelings of rage and shame because of theology and church, and that the church has decided to defend. Well, that can be true. I mean, I've been in those places. You know what kept me away from Christ for many years, too many years? Because they were more conscious of my sin than they were of how much God loved me. If I would have started with, you know, they started with, you must be born again, which I didn't get at all. I didn't understand. I mean, what do you expect? You know, I was unregenerated mind. Why didn't they start with, he loves you while you are yet a sinner? But they didn't. They hammered that sin issue. And it just kept me. No, I'm not going there to be judged. I'm not going there for shame and condemnation. I know how bad I am. I don't need somebody telling me week after week. I know how bad I am. You know, we're living in an age where there's all this division, you know, and the Supreme Court just made a decision. And, you know, is it supreme? Is it the court of heaven? You know, some people might think that it is. You know, they might think that coincides, the Supreme Court. But, you know, interestingly enough, the decision they just made was 4-5. That's not a perfect decision, folks. Heaven's perfect. The court of heaven is perfect. There's no flaws in it. Now, what if the Supreme Court said, we're taking away the First Amendment, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Well, some people think they already did. It's a very divided country. It's a very divided nation. What if they took away the Second Amendment? Would you still say it's the Supreme Court? I wonder, is it supreme just if it agrees with our liking or our decision? See, we have to go to a higher place, to a higher level. We have to, as believers, as Christians. In James, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What makes it perfect? It's in the blood of Christ. It's in the blood of Christ. It's perfectly established in Christ. That's what makes him perfect. That's what perfects us. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning on us. God's not going to turn on us, folks, okay? Because we make bad decisions or poor choices. I've watched a lot of times, many times, with my own children, who I don't like sometimes. I mean, I have 7 children, and they're making choices and decisions. You know, what happened to raise up a child and the way it will go and it will not depart from it? I'm still waiting. Still waiting on that one. You know what I mean? I mean, my kids make decisions and I still love them. I still support them. You know, I still encourage them. I still see them all the time. I still invite them over. Open the refrigerator. Say, there's no shadow of turning in me on them. It's not what I is my nature. It says, of his own will, he brought us forth. Not something man has done, okay? Not something man has decided to do. It's of his own will, his will, free will. See, we have free will. That's the wonderful thing about this whole thing is free will. We still have the right to choose. We still have the right to make decisions. And as I see it, my children will all be doing that. They will be doing that. And your children may be doing that. You with younger children. Oh, you think you got them now. They can be very self-willed. And they can make big mistakes. Big mistakes. So we have to keep that father's heart. That father's heart toward them. Oh, of his own will, by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So as he is the father of lights, the light shines down as in refracted through us. His goodness is refracted through us. That's how it's meant to be. It's supposed to be a totally different species of human being. Not refracting hate, anger, frustration, fear, not parroting what the world is saying, but refracting what the Father of Lights is doing. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was you, the Father of Lights. Now, I was thinking about worship. I think about worship a lot. And I was thinking, worship is soaking up the sun and then dispersing it to those all around us. See, they stand and they worship. Megan, I'm sure she prepares a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know? And she soaks up the sun. Oh, this is so good. Oh, God, this song is so good. Oh, my goodness. And then she gets up there, Doug too, everybody on the team, and they disperse the light. They disperse hope. They disperse joy. They disperse peace. Oh, they just pour it out through them. He wants to have this first fruits creation, a species like no other species that can do this on this planet at this time, to let it flow from the court of heaven, from the court of heaven. Oh my goodness, and it's flowing. When I read the throne room revelation of the court of heaven, they're worshiping God. They're praising God. They're standing in the presence of God saying, whoa, oh my goodness. See, that's, ooh, I can feel it now. Oh, release it, Lord. Oh, give it away. More. We need it. We need more light. We need more love. We need the joy of our salvation. Oh, what are these gifts? Let's look over in 1 Corinthians 12. This is interesting to me. 1 Corinthians 12. It says, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you ignorant. I don't want to leave you in the dark. I don't want you to not know about these things. You know, there are belief systems right down the road that said these gifts have passed away. Well, my question is, when we need them the most, when we need these gifts from above to help us, why would God take them away from us? Why would he do that? That would not be good. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights. It says, but in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of you to profit all. So these gifts are for all of us, to encourage all of us. All in all, it says all in all, like I said, if it wasn't for all of us, there would be no Oak River Church. You know, we make up the church here at Oak River. And it says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the spirit of another, and the word of knowledge through the same spirit. So I was asking the Lord this morning for wisdom. Because doesn't he say, if you lack wisdom, ask? I'm talking about spiritual wisdom, okay? And he says, I've already given it to you. I said, okay. He says, you know, I have some natural wisdom from being 70-some years old, you know. I get some of that, but I want spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding for this time. And he says, all right, I already gave it to you. And I said, okay, now I want word of knowledge. He says, not everyone will receive this word of wisdom. That's the word of knowledge. That's an understanding, okay, beyond natural understanding. Because my natural understanding says, I'm going to stand up here, stick out my neck, say something about situations in the world, in spirituality, in Christendom, and all this, and everybody's going to say, amen, brother. Oh, I don't live for amens. I live for him. You know, I live for him. That's how I live, for his approval, not man's approval. It says to another, faith. We need faith, folks. We need more faith. You know, I read today, not today, yesterday, they said that if the war in Ukraine goes on and boycotting, that oil, a barrel could go up to $380 a barrel, okay? Do you know what that would be for gas? $10 to $15 a gallon for gas. I'm here to tell you this morning that love is the new fuel, folks. Love is, oh, how naive, Dave. No, I think we're going to need help getting around. I think we're going to need each other. I think we're going to need all in all. When you can't get there, I might have what you need. See, sometimes these things, I mean, I'm telling you, you don't know what could happen by the time Sandy gets up here next week. You know, might be an easy week. It's already been a tough week. Very tough week when you see things that have happened and go on. How do we respond to this? Well, he's helping us. He's giving us help by another, faith by the same spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same spirit. Oh, we need the gift of healing. I need healing. You poured out healing on me in many ways over the past years. Healing that brought emotional, physical healing. It's the same way with a course like Free to Be Me. It brings healing of past wounds, past hurts that are hurting you physically. Oh, it's so needed. To another, the working of miracles. Ooh, I love that. I expect a miracle every day. Every day. Ooh, the sun rises, I expect a miracle. I say it, Lord, I expect a miracle. I talk to the Lord in the morning. Oh, I want to be a better lover this morning, Lord. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. You know, I recently did something. It was very freeing. I deleted Facebook right off my apps. Totally. Now that has freed me. Yes, it has. Why? Because I found myself wanting to be right. And the first commandment is not, thou shalt be right. What's the first commandment? To love one another. And see, I don't want to go, you know, die and be noted for being right. I want to be noted for being loved. Oh, when I go on, oh, Dave was such a good lover. Oh, he could love. His love could bring healing. Oof. His love could bring miracles. Whew. That's what it takes, folks. I'm telling you, we're not operating at the level of love because we're letting the world pull us into darkness. And it's not releasing love at the greatest level that it could possibly be released. Oh, miracles, signs and wonders, discerning of spirits. If we don't need discerning of spirits more now than ever before. I was given the latest, hottest book by the latest, greatest teacher, you know, that this group really liked. I discerned some real air in here, okay? I mean, I really discerned, like, I couldn't bring that before you, you know? I just couldn't. It's hyper-Christianity, hyper-spirituality. Whew. It's something you need, that discernment. You need a leader with discernment. A discernment of what's going on, the times, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. I speak in tongues more than you all. I mean, I pray in tongues. This is why I'm going to a job. I said, I'm going to pray from here, turn off the radio, and pray in tongues till I get there for the people. I don't know. I don't know what they need. The Spirit does. So I pray in the Spirit. Do all pray in the Spirit? No. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. All these are available to you. Read them. They're all available to you. For as the body is one in many members, but all the members of that one body being many of one body, so is Christ. We're in the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the big picture of followers of Christ, and we need to be free to follow him. It says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews, Greeks, men, women, I mean, it's that said someplace else. Slaves, free, and all have made to drink. Woo, of one Spirit. It's a good place to drink. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with this unity in the midst of disunity. Don't let us see one another as separate, but as one. Oh, drink that in. Oh, you need to drink that in. This needs to be a revelation. We're a new creation. We're a new species of man, not based on nationality, race, gender, or creed. We are made to be free in Christ. Who set us free? Did man set us free? No, Christ has set us free. Christ set me free. July 17th, 1979. My birthday's coming up, folks. I'm telling you, he set me free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, when I found Christ, I was set free. He saved me so solidly, he never wants me to doubt ever his great salvation and how much it can propel me into my destiny. Oh, as a lover of mankind and a lover of Christ. You know, I spent 7 years at the Mercy Seed Mission on West 25th Street. Whew. It was an emergency hunger center. Our main clientele were single mothers with children. Whew. Many had made poor decisions. You know, they had. You know what I'd say to them sometimes? Could you do me a favor and put that child in a bathtub before you bring them the next time? The kids were so dirty, so dejected. Whew. And it learned me how to love it at a whole nother level. It showed me how not to look at the flesh and look at the Spirit. It showed me how to have mercy. I mean, we were the Mercy Seed Mission. We weren't the Judgment Seed Mission. Whew. It taught me mercy. It taught me grace. It taught me humility. Oh, my goodness. I think we're going to have that opportunity again in a big way, in a really big way. In verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And Christ has appointed these in the church first apostles. Do we have any apostles with us this morning? I'm sure we do. I mean, apostles are like church planters and, you know, guys that have really tremendous gifting, you know, to do this stuff and eventually get martyred. Anyway, and it says, first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers. Now, to me, a prophet in the New Testament, it says that prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. In the New Testament setting, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? And it says prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of helps, healings and helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Well, if you have a minister of helps like Ken with a crossover gift of healing, look out, man. Whew. Oh my gosh. Oh, you make me want to cry, brother. Honestly, God, stir that up, Lord. Just stir that gift. See, you can have crossover gifts, healing and helps. Who's here first thing every morning, you know? I mean, with the rest of the folks that are doing stuff. Ken's here. Helps and healings. Oh, stir it up, Lord. Increase it. Bring the increase into his life for this hour. Oh, my gosh. If you have a pastor who's a teacher, oh my gosh. Don't make me cry. Oh, stir it up, Lord, in her. Oh, my goodness. Such a blessing to not only have a pastoral heart, but is able to teach clearly of the kingdom of God. Help us in this hour to focus on what is more needed and what is more important than anything else around it. Oh, Lord, stir up that gift. We need it more than ever. Oh, my goodness. There's such a combination. Oh, here, that one, the gift of administration. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. It's wonderful. It's also can be called governments. Can be governments. You should run for office. There are people that are called to governments. Do you know that? They are called to run for office. It's not my gifting. Administration is not my gifting. I keep track of nothing. I write nothing down, okay, except on these little cards. Here, stir up that gift, Lord. Stir up that gift of administration with a crossover of helps that is so powerful, Lord. Just stir it up in her. Oh, don't let her grow weary of well-doing. Oh, let her increase it. Increase it as the days go forward. Whew. You know, I believe there are people that are called to government. To government. We just have to discern, who are they? Who are they? And how are we going to deal with the situations that we're in? Oh, it says here, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. What's the next chapter? 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. See, that's what our gospel can sound like. If all these giftings aren't based in love. Love is the future, folks. It's the future of this church. It's the future of any institution. Love is the future because love never fails. If we aren't based in love, if we aren't rooted and grounded in love, we will fail. You will fail. Your relationships will fail. They need to be rooted and grounded in love. Love is the new currency. I'm telling you, love is the new currency. And we're going to have to learn how to handle it, how to use it, how to work love, how to draw love unto us. You know, we're all about gathering wealth. Oh, you know, I've worked in just some amazing homes in the last couple of weeks. You know, big homes, people who have, you know, left their big home to go to a bigger home, you know, and they I said, you know what? My dad never taught me to make money. He taught me how to fix things, you know, so I have tools. I have tools. Love is the new tool, folks. Love is it. We got to be rooted and grounded in love like never before. We have to have our eyes on the kingdom. We have to set our heart on the kingdom. We have to set our heart like flint on the kingdom of God. Love is the fuel of the future. It's going to propel everything else. It's going to drive everything else. Everything. Everything's gone. Because God's never failed. Systems will fail, but love never fails. I don't care how theologically correct you are, how self-righteous you are, His love never fails. James 1:19, put it on my tombstone. His love never fails. Where was I? So then, I love this. So then, my beloved brethren, you still love me? You still love me? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I'm risking my neck. I'm sticking my neck out here, talking about tough stuff, tough love, tough life. I'm talking about challenges. I'm talking about how are we going to hold it together. And I mean, do mean together. He says, it says, I lost my place. Oh, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. See, there's people who want to stir up your anger. And that's all Facebook did to me. It stirred. So I'm a social person. I am very social. Okay. But it stirred up my anger. I don't need my anger stirred up. You know, I need my love stirred up. I need my love stirred up on a regular basis. It says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You're never going to produce any righteousness out of anger, even if it's righteous anger. Is there such a thing? Look that up, administrator. Okay. Oh, therefore, what is this all there for? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. We're getting died of plenty of that, and for the rest of the month, we're going to get it. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. See, we're not looking in the natural, we're looking in the spiritual. We're looking in the spiritual. In the spiritual, I am not an old white-haired man, okay? I'm not. I'm a young, vibrant spirit. Woo! For he observes of going away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Oh, I'll never forget what kind of man I was. Whew. Oh, I will never forget what a wretched man I was. What a wicked man I was. You say, you, Dave? Yes, me. I was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. Are we talking about the Constitution? No. We're talking about the law of Christ. The law of Christ. It's perfect. Why is it perfect? Because we said it's established in Christ from the foundations of the world. The perfect law. It's perfect. It's not man-made. It's from above. It's God's. And continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is the one who will be blessed in all he does. Let's keep looking together. Let's keep looking. I just sense this. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. The angels desire to look into it. We have it. We have it. And we have a teacher who helps us discern it. And a preacher that'll talk about it, you know. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. I'm telling you, a lot of the world, because it's split down about, you know, 50-50 about who they think we are. They have no idea what we do in here. Do you know that? No idea. We're flawed people who work it out together, who slug it out together. That's who we are. We know we're flawed. We know we're sinners. We're not perfect. We have ideas. We have, you know, we make poor decisions. We make good decisions. Oh, but we're here. We're not here to put shame on you or guilt. Oh, come. Pure and undefiled religion before God, the Father, is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I'm telling you, in light of the decision that was made quite recently, we got our work cut out for us, folks. Like I said, at the Mercy Seat Mission, single mothers brought children in that they made the choice to keep, okay? But they were hungry. They were fatherless. It was very difficult. But the church I was in at the time supplied them with what they needed and took them in. And that's what we're going to need to do. I mean, that's what we're going to need to have our discernment up. Who needs help? Who can I take in? What needs to happen here in order for people to see the goodness of God in the land of the living that we sang about? What is the church's responsibility to this? To be right? No, to be loving. That's what our call is to be loving, not right. Certitude makes great enemies. We need to be loving. Oh, you know, I looked in the book of Isaiah. We'll close here before we pray. We're going to pray for some from people who are going out in a mission trip. And Isaiah is what I call an Old Testament pastor. Okay, he's a prophet, but he says, I should have wrote it down without looking for it, but Isaiah 1, he says, learn to do good. Oh my gosh. When I came to the Lord, I had no idea how to be good. I knew how to be bad, bad, bad. That's all I knew. How to be bad. And he says, learn to be good. Learn to be good. I don't know if I wrote it down. Learn to be, he says, learn to be good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Not much different than what we're called to do today. So, this is the word of wisdom this morning. And the word of knowledge is, you're not all going to like it. That's for sure.